This is the truth of it. Fighting leads to killing, and killing gets to warring, and that was damn near the death of us all. Look at us now, busted up and everyone talking about hard rain. But we've learned by the dust of them all, Barter Town's learned. Now when men get to fighting, it happens here, and it finishes here. Two men enter, one man leaves. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Dying Time is here.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the CIC of the USS Hollywood, it's Tyler Hollywood and Christy Chaos as Cock Radio X presents The Bad Side Live.
Are you kidding me? They actually said that Mark Holberg wasn't fat? Hello? The guy admits he's at least 300 pounds in the court of law. No, he's got to be more like 400 pounds, because he broke the frickin' meat scale last time we tried to weigh him. Mark Holberg not fat. Ha! Like my chin's not big. I mean, that's got to be one of the greatest moments in the history of mankind. Because you know what's happening. Seriously, think about this. How many pervy guys have been watching one of these Girls Gone Wild tapes, and then they realize, oh my god, that was my daughter that just French kissed a whore!
Number two, he's the only man I know that goes swimming at a closed public pool and gets arrested by an entire SWAT team.
So the question remains, why hasn't President Barack Obama sat down with Governor of Arizona and asked what he can do to help with the immigration problem in that state, instead of red carpeting Mexican President Calderon at the White House? We are grateful that the Prez didn't bow before Calderon, but he may have well just gotten down on his knees, unzipped Calderon's fly, and sucked his dick.
I've never met anyone more boring in my life.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is another scorcher out here on the East Coast. Or shall we say, in international waters just off the East Coast. That's right, out here in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, it is I, Tyler Hollywood, broadcasting live from the CIC of the USS Hollywood. It is a little warm. Just want to warn you right off the gate. Right out of the gate, because when it's a little warm, my attitude is a little bit up. And you know, can you hear this? Of course, it's not going to do it anymore. See, hear that? Hear that? That, ladies and gentlemen, is the failing air conditioner here in the CIC. This is a brand new mobile here, ladies and gentlemen. It's state of the art. The CIC is packed with all kinds of electronic equipment here. Yet, I have an air conditioner that sounds like my grandmother when she had asthma. Can someone from Talk Radio X please fix this problem? Because if I don't have a little bit of cool air, if I don't have a little bit of, you know, less hot under the collar, things aren't going to be pretty here on the CIC. Okay? I'm just saying. We can afford money. We can afford to send money out to the Midwest for that that nice brand new bunker or whatever that thing is out. Will you? Oh my God! Please, out there for Mr. Learman's show, brand new studio out there. We're sending him prize money, and I don't have an air conditioner that, you know, can pump out a little bit of cool air. And I don't have a chair that likes to stay where it's supposed to stay. I keep sinking down in my chair. And don't even go there. Don't even go there. Don't even say, well, if you lost a little weight, Mr. Hollywood, if you didn't sink your fat ass into the chair, maybe the chair wouldn't sink to the ground. These are computer chairs. These are designed specifically for fat asses like me that sit here nightly bringing you entertainment. So they have to work. I can't be looking up over my desktop trying to type away or trying to look at my screen. I don't know, maybe it's the heat, maybe it's the fact that I don't have a co-host tonight. And then I have to deal with the fact that I'm not going to have a co-host on Thursdays and Fridays. As it is, you know what? Tomorrow night, you don't even get me. That's your punishment, ladies and gentlemen, for not keeping me comfortable. No, actually what it is, it's my night out. It is ladies' night out with Tyler Hollywood tomorrow, Friday. Anybody who wants to meet me there can go to the poorhouse between 6 at midnight. We're going to be ripping it up this week because God knows Mr. Hollywood needs to go out. Missed it a couple of weeks ago. Has to go out tomorrow night. Has to. All right. Let's get to In the News right here, right now, here on The Bad Side Live. Out of Bel Air Beach, Florida. A man who apparently passed out on a pool float at a Tampa Bay area beach ended up drifting about a mile from Florida's shore in the Gulf of Mexico. Folks, I want you to figure this out. 3 miles from any shoreline, 3 miles out is international waters. Cruise ships, after about 3 to 5 miles, will fire up their casinos because now they're in international waters. This guy is a mile out from the Florida panhandle here, the Florida coast. All right, into the Gulf of Mexico. A mile away from shore on a floaty. The U.S. Coast Guard rescued the man on Wednesday afternoon. Coast Guard Petty Officer First Class Marina O'Leary told the St. Petersburg Times they suspect the man was very drunk. Yeah, no shit. The Coast Guard says a boater reported seeing an unconscious man floating well offshore. The Coast Guard and a Clearwater Fire Rescue Unit responded and found the man still unconscious, yet wearing a life jacket. He eventually woke up and was checked by paramedics on a Coast Guard station. O'Leary said the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office will investigate the incident. You know what, Mr. Psycho Rabbit? I just got your message. You want a little wine with that chin man? A little cheese with that wine? Chin man? That's what he says. I screwed that up, sorry. You just hush up over there. All right? You know, and I got to ask about this this idiot on the floaty. This totally irresponsible creature will pay for the Coast Guard crew members and the Clearwater Fire Rescue members' time, right? Right? He's going to pay for the use of the boat fuel, and the use of the fire rescue vehicle. The fire rescue vehicle fuel. And you know what? I think he should pay a $2,000 I'm stupid fine to the Bel Air Beach. Right? This is going to happen, right? Because if not, I'm going to make it happen. I will make it my mission to make sure this idiot... Is there a name? Does this guy have a name? No, this guy doesn't even have a frickin' name. I'm going to research this more. I am going to find this guy. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pull a Sir Daryl. I'm going to call this guy and find out what the hell he was thinking. Drifting out. You know what? I say if he hit international waters, if he drifted out another 2 miles, I think they should have left him there. Oh, we can't do anything, sir. You're in international waters. That's what I would have done. I would have just left his ass out there. All right, how about this? An Indian conservationist, known for his work in rescuing reptiles, has died after being bitten by a king cobra, the Times of India reported Thursday. Rakeshwar Pani, 62, who earned the moniker Kendrapada's Snake Man for his work, was bitten on Wednesday evening at... Garapur village in India's east coast. You know, I thought Japanese names were hard. But I can actually pronounce Japanese name like Hinoshori Takahashi and things like that. Even some Chinese names I do pretty pretty well with. As a matter of fact, Antibert and Twinkle can attest to the fact that I pretty much nail some of the Chinese names that I try to pronounce here. But what is with the Indians' name? And the Russian names? I can't get those. Anyways, here's a quote. He had rescued a king cobra from a neighbor's Buick. Buick? No, that is not right. He had rescued a king cobra from a neighbor's brick kiln. Where I got Buick, I have no idea. Brick kiln, even as his son's marriage ceremony was going on. But the snake suddenly attacked him. I can't pronounce this name either. Sudhanshu Parida, secretary of the District Unit of People for Animals, told the Indian Times. Parida likened Pawnee's death to that of Australian conservationist, the crocodile hunter Steve Irwin, crikey, it on him this big, who died in September 2006 when he was stung by a stingray while snorkeling off the Great Barrier Reef. You know, soon this guy, this Pawnee, yeah, you know what, I only have one thing to say about this. He's going to be immortalized with his own Darwin Award. Hello, thank you, good night, I'm here all week, all right? We'll be right back, folks. I gotta reset. I gotta fix this stupid air conditioner. Come on. I'm gonna give me a screwdriver and a frickin' hammer. Another smarty pants listener tuning in. Maine checks in and says, hey, your wine sounds like Mark Holborn and corduroy pants. No, honey. No. Mark Holborn and corduroy pants would sound more like a hurricane warning. A megaphone right there, Stained. One of the groups that sent music in early on to the bad side. So I was reading an article the other day out of the Associated Press. As a matter of fact, I have it right here. Fremont, Nebraska. Voters in the eastern Nebraska city of Fremont on Monday approved a ban on hiring or renting property to illegal immigrants. The latest proposal in a series of immigration regulations taken up by communities around the county. About 57% of voters in Fremont supported the proposal, according to the unofficial results, that still must be certified by the election commissioner. The measure is likely to face a long and costly court battle, with the American Civil Liberties Union saying it will try to block it before it even goes into effect. Pretty much what's happening in Arizona. The town of about 25,000 people
has washed as its Hispanic population surged in the last two decades, largely due to the jobs available at the nearby Fremont Beef and Hormel meatpacking plants. The city also has an inevitably low unemployment rate that matches the Nebraska rate of 4.9%. Nonetheless, residents worry that jobs are going to illegal immigrants who they fear could drain community resources. Proponents of the ballot measure collected enough signatures and fought in the Nebraska Supreme Court to put the question to a public vote. Supporters say the measure is needed to make up for what they see as lax federal law enforcement. See, Arizona's not the only one that thinks this. Opponents say it could fuel discrimination. Trevor McClurg said the measure is fair because it's aimed at people who aren't legally in the U.S. That's what this is all about, you know. There's no discrimination about it. You ACLUers, and you ACLUites, whatever you want to call yourselves, you're the ones that are throwing this discrimination name around. We're talking legalities here. I don't think it's right to be able to rent to them or hire them, says McClurg. They shouldn't be here in the first place. And I agree with Mr. McClurg. Clint Walraven, 51, who has lived in Fremont all of his life, said the job should go to the legal residents who are unemployed, something he believes the ordinance would help fix. Discussions on the issue can get heated, he said, particularly if racism is mentioned. See, that's the thing. It only takes one person to throw that in there, and then suddenly, it's a disaster. And Mr. Walraven is right. I mean, doesn't it make sense that jobs should go to the legal residents who are unemployed? I mean, you. Every town, every county has an unemployment rate. Not everybody is working. Okay? They're very low, 4.9%. But still, if it wasn't for illegals working in this Hormel plant, that 4.9% could actually be lower. All right? And everything would be legal. I say, send in the ICE team to Hormel. Do some checking. Really scrutinize the IDs that are being used. I'm going to tell you, at least 40% of the people working at this plant are actually illegal. Even though they may have legal papers, they are here illegally. Rachel Fleming said she voted against the measure, noting that the U.S. is a nation of immigrants. Yes, legal immigrants, Rachel. People who have put in their time, paid their dues. She says, this country has been founded on ways of immigration. I just think it's the ordinance, contrary to the spirit of the country. No! It is protection of that spirit, Rachel! How can you not see this? We are trying to take the legality and make it the forefront. Not discrimination, not racism, not anything against immigration. It's against illegal immigration, illegal people being here. From about 165 Hispanics, both legal and illegal, living in Fremont in 1990, the total surged to 1,085 in just the year 2000. This is 10 years later. There's an estimated 2,060 Hispanics that were estimated to have lived there last year. The measure will require potential renters to apply for a license to rent. All right? State of Vermont, we already do that. The application process will force Fremont officials to check if the renters are in the country legally. If they are found to be illegal, they will not be issued a license allowing them to rent. The ordinance also requires businesses to use federal E-Verify database to ensure employees are allowed to work. And communities that have passed such laws have faced costly legal bills and struggled to enforce them because of legal challenges. Hazleton, Pennsylvania. Pass an ordinance in 2006, people. You think you're all worried about Arizona. Hazleton, PA, passed an ordinance in 2006 to fine landlords who rent to illegal immigrants and deny permits to businesses hiring them. That's already on the books, people. That's a federal law. The Dallas suburb of Farmers Branch also has tried for years to enforce a ban on landlords renting to illegal immigrants. And federal judges struck down both ordinances. But right now, both are on appeal. And even before the Fremont measure passed, the ACLU of Nebraska said it would sue. They say our goal would be to bring an action to ensure that there is not even one day that the law can go into effect, said Amy Miller, legal director of the ACLU in Nebraska. Fremont City Councilman Scott Getzman said he wasn't sure when the ordinance would take effect if it's not blocked by a judge. Once the Dodge County Election Commissioner certifies it, the city council must accept the vote. Getzman didn't support the measure, but said he expects city leaders will respect the outcome of the election and defend the ordinance in court, even though he personally may not agree with it. The vote is the latest chapter in the tumult over illegal immigration across the country. And yes, including a recently passed Arizona law that will require police investigating another incident or crime to ask people about their immigration status if there's a reasonable suspicion they're in the country illegally. And you know what? A reasonable suspicion can even mean, ladies and gentlemen, the fact that they can't speak a lick of frickin' English. All right? Kansas City, Missouri-based attorney Chris Kobach, who helped write the Arizona law, has been working in the ordinance in Fremont. He is also running for Secretary of State in Kansas. I have a note here, Mr. President. All right, I want you to take in this story about Nebraska. I want you to remember Arizona. I want you to remember Pennsylvania. All right, Hazleton, PA. Here, Mr. President, is your silent majority. Here are the independents. They say, power to the people. We made the laws. We want them enforced. There is no free-for-all here anymore. This is our country. If we were to go to their country, we would not be allowed to do what they seem to believe they are entitled to do here. As an American citizen, I am not a citizen of the world. As an American citizen, I am not responsible for the world, and I will not be pushed out of my own country. All right, now let's go to the phone lines. Caller, you are on the air with Mr. Hollywood. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Colin Hollywood, they finally let you out, huh?
I had to make an escape. I got to tell you, before I go too far here, I got to say I have to apologize to all my listeners for being gone so long and for keeping Packer off the air. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Mr. Packer from Georgia. How are you, sir?
Well, you know, it's hotter than Satan's balls down here, and I love it. I love it. Man, the asphalt is melting, and bumblebees are getting stuck, and they can't fly off when they land. I love it.
Wow, so you, unlike me, you love that heat down there, don't you?
Are you kidding me? I'm the only. I work around a bunch of guys from Detroit, Michigan, from Cleveland, Ohio, from up New York way. And I mean, they just all good. It's hot there. Fuck that, man. I'm here in a pair of shorts, blue jeans. I am loving it.
Are you on?
It could be 10 degrees hotter, and I'd love it.
Are you on your forklift?
Well, I am now.
Excellent. Forklift bell. Gotta like it. Gotta like it. See, this, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't get me. This is reality, baby. This is reality. Fuck Ozzy Osbourne. Hey,
yes, sir.
You know, I called because I wanted to, while you were off the air, I have to confess, over the weekend, I was up, you know, I work nights, so the nights that I'm not working, I can't sleep, I stay up.
Right.
And I was, just nosing around online. I was looking to see what other internet radio options were out there just to have something to do to listen to because I watched all my porn this weekend. And I want to say, and you did not put me up to this, but everybody that's a listener of Talk Radio X, and especially the bad side in Club Hollywood, be thankful that you have something as good and as a quality show as this, because Sunday night, some of the shit that I was listening to on different sites,
yeah.
My God.
Horrible, huh?
I've heard Billy Goats fuck in barbed wire that sounded better.
Thanks
hey,
for
hey,
the...
that's the one I have. I've heard that.
Oh, geez. Thanks for that image.
I heard the sheep check in last night. I listened to the replay.
Yes, he checked in last night. Yeah. Hadn't heard from him in a while, so we thought we'd say hello to him.
And He's kind of pissed off about that Tamil wrestling tournament he can't make it to.
Yes, apparently because of the oil spill, it's messed up his plans to go down to the Florida Panhandle.
Yeah, then I think he said the bee of the peas has got him all out of whack and all his turbines all in a twist and all that good shit.
That is certainly true. Hey,
I'm sure he'll overcome and adapt, Dave.
Now I have a question for you.
Okay.
All right. You heard the replay last night or this afternoon, whenever you happen to hear it.
Right.
I know that you specifically, I know we've talked to you in the past about Joren Vandersloot. I know you specifically have a problem with this guy. What's your take on this recent thing with the death of Stephanie Flores and his guilty confession about killing him?
I hope he drops dead right now. I wouldn't waste $1.19 on a Snapple to piss on him if he was on fire.
Well, that's...
I tell you what, I've wanted to do this for a long time, and I didn't want to wait. I wanted to do it before he got arrested finally. You can ask Chris out in Texas County. He'll back this story up for me. If he gets off, TRX has got a lot of listeners in the Netherlands, right?
Yes.
I'm sure. He comes to me. I think he's actually tuned in a time or two. If he gets off, which I doubt he will, I hope they set him on fire. If he gets off and he goes back home, and if anybody in the Netherlands is listening to this right now, Timmy Packer, have got a round-trip airfare ticket, complete with hotel accommodation, from anywhere in this world, I will fly him to Atlanta, Georgia. I will meet him in Atlanta, Georgia, man to man. I'll get somebody to video it, we'll YouTube it. I'll even have it drawn up, documented. And fight him man to man. If he whips my ass, I will kiss his ass live on YouTube. But if I whip his ass, he's got to come clean on where that little Holloway girl is.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, this confession that he made to a friend of his, which his friend recorded basically illegally, I mean, if you want to look at the law, in a car. I mean, isn't this enough? I mean, I know when it comes to evidence we can't use this, but we all know he's guilty. So it's time...
Oh, yeah, he's guilty of OJ.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
yeah. And it's time for him to give us some goddamn answers, and this is the time to get him on Natalie Holloway.
Well, I mean, you know, there's so many countries in the world now that they hate America. They hate Americans. We're the bottom of the barrel. We're the scuzz. We're just the shit. You know? That's what they say. Well, here's his chance right now. And I'm a man of my word, too. I'm a man of my word. We'll draw it up legal life, whatever he wants to do. If he gets off of it, you know what? If I knew I could get him a good lawyer and get him out of it just to get him to come over here so I could stomp a mud hole in his little lanky ass, I'd do it.
Nice.
I'm serious as I can be. I swear to God, if I can fly him to the U.S. and me and him hook it up man to man, I'd get the truth out of it.
I think so. I absolutely believe that. And then after you get the truth out of him, I say this. Let's not just murder the poor punk. All right? Let's stay on an even keel and send him back to where he's actually being held now. Because I did some research on this prison. I can't remember the name of it. But this prison that he's at is notorious for bad living conditions and all-around bad treatment. And there's some really nasty stuff goes on in there. And get this. This prison he's in, he's killed two young, beautiful ladies. All right? He's not going to survive too long in that situation anyways, as it might be. He may not even survive long enough for us to get the damn truth out of him.
I will be very surprised. I don't know what prison you're talking about. I think I know. But if what I've kind of did, what little bit I've read about it before I had to go to a puke bucket and vomit, if what I've read about where he's being held, if it's anywhere near true, I would be very surprised if he lives if he sees 6 months to a year.
Yeah,
I would
exactly.
be very surprised.
Yeah.
Which, no great loss. I mean, I can go to Ace Hardware and pay $4.99 for a shovel and bury his ass and be done with it.
It's the San Juan de Larigancho Prison. San Juan de la Lurigancho Prison, if you want to look that up, ladies and gentlemen.
I can't even spell it.
Neither can I. It's like L-U-R-I-G-A-N-C-H-O, something like that.
Okay, I don't think that's the one I was... all them foreign prisons is fucked up anyway.
So. All right, well, Pac, I want to thank you for the phone call. We're going to move on. And please.
All right, okay.
Yeah, keep on listening, and we will check in with you sometime next week.
Hey, what do you want the next Pappas Point to be about?
You know what? Think of something, and I'll work up an idea around that.
Okie doke. You're the boss, so I follow your lead. You write the checks.
All right, sir.
And get my last one, by the way.
Well, I didn't get it because I couldn't play the files, so.
Well, no. Oh, you didn't? Okay. I'll get on my techie about that.
All right, you do that. And, sir, I appreciate the fact, and I salute you for calling me while you're working.
Oh, yeah, Overlord and 12.
All right, thank you, sir. There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. Give him a round of applause. Working hard on his forklift, no less. We'll be right back. Thanks, Pac. Coming up next, ladies and gentlemen, who is a more emotional... Male or female? It's next, right here on the Bad Side. Gentlemen, put your hands in the air. All right. Well, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Here's a question. Actually, let me set this up for you. This afternoon, I took a little lunch break. I went over to the pizza joint, and I ordered up a couple of slices of pizza and a nice caffeine drink. And as I was standing there, they have a pub on the other side of the dine-in area. And I poked my head in because they had soccer on this afternoon. Everybody's got the World Cup fever. Now, I'm not like a huge fan of soccer. I don't get into it like some of my friends do. But I enjoy the World Cup. All right? These four guys sitting at a table were just going absolutely insane. I don't even know what game they were watching. But... there was a penalty. One of the players on one of the teams, a striker, was going after a ball, and one of the other defenders came in right behind, slid on his knees, and basically kicked at both knees and sent him down. Looked pretty painful. The guy overacted like they all do. All right. But still, these four guys watching this just got totally insane about the play. Just overly emotional. Now, let me give you an example of the female overly emotional. This one woman in Walmart that I've told you about before, the one with the screaming kid. She had a 3-year-old on her shoulder and a 5-year-old running around like a complete idiot. All right? She got so bent out of shape that she couldn't control this kid, she broke down in the middle of a Walmart cereal aisle or something like that and started crying, saying, "Help me with my boy!" Overly emotional. And what I want to talk to you today, my dear listener, is the concept of being overly emotional. And exactly who is the more overly emotional gender? Is it the male? Or is it the female? Now, I'm going to tell you right here, right out of the gate, it is pretty widely accepted in society that women are way more emotional than men. But since I like to twist things up and present them from an alternative perspective, give you the left and the right, the black and the white, let's take a closer look at that claim, shall we? And look, I understand everything men have to deal with in society in order to get ahead in life. The pride, the one-upmanship, the delicate egos, the bravado, the throwing a poo around like a chimp. I get it. I really do. But we also don't have to be a slave to society's rigid expectations any more than women have to. Wait, ladies, you do know that you don't have to, right? Ah, never mind. Whether or not to conform to societal stereotypes is a personal choice, ladies and gentlemen, that each and every one of us makes, and either you're cool with your decision, or, you know, to do so, or you're not. The gray area comes when the people who are seemingly cool with who they've chosen to be aren't cool that other people aren't like them too. We're all guilty of this to some degree in order to justify our own way of being. But the truth of the matter is it's all bullshit anyway, and there's no right or wrong way of being. Now, a lot of stereotypical guys like to demonize women for being too emotional. But obviously, men have emotions too, and certainly express them frequently as well. Just take a look at how many men cried and whined about the botched baseball call by Jim Joyce, the umpire. Many cried that it was the worst call of his career. But then again, most had no idea who the hell this guy was until that bad call. So, like this segment, I guess it's all a matter of perspective. Besides, it isn't like men having emotion is a big secret. Especially lately. A lot of us, I don't want to say us, a lot of men have become metrosexuals. And I would venture even further to say without a doubt that men are in fact the ones who are more overly emotional nowadays and more hormonal than women. Last time I checked, ladies and gentlemen, anger was an emotion. Yet, for some reason, when a man expresses anger, he isn't labeled as overly emotional. On the other hand, if a woman cries at work and she is instantly and forever labeled as overly emotional. I remember working for a company that I worked for between jobs, really. Small little office. And I remember this one woman who cried at work after she found out that she had, like, the swine flu or something. She got a really bad sickness. And the men were laughing about it for weeks because she would cry, you know, just out of the blue. That is, they laughed until she died. She had some kind of stomach disorder. And then it was just awkward to laugh about her crying at work, at least for the guys. Getting angry is just as emotional as getting sad, as the definition of the word emotion goes. Personally, I have seen way more men get angry at work, or while driving, or when doing just about anything, than I have ever seen women crying during all the same activities. And I'm usually around women more than men, so that's actually saying something. It is also medically accepted that one of the major driving forces of all this anger is the hormone testosterone. So, correct me if I'm wrong here, but doesn't that not only make men more often emotional than women, but also more hormonal as well? Sure, women can get really angry. Believe me, I know. But the expression of it is not nearly as extreme or erratic as a man's expression of that same degree of anger. Just listen to my goddamn show! When was the last time you saw a woman punch a wall or even another human being because she got upset about something mundane? Like that time I put cayenne pepper on Stacy's vibrator. I mean, you should have seen it. I thought she would freak out and kill me and scream or commit bloody murder, but instead she just bit her lip and took it like a pro. Speaking of murder, what about murder and violent crime statistics, which are based on collected factual stats? Throughout history, the world's prisons have always been vastly more populated by men than by women. So doesn't that mean without a doubt that men are more emotionally erratic with their behavior and actions than women are? Kind of points to that direction. On top of all this anger that men express freely and frequently are all the other emotions that men have, whether they care to admit it or not. You don't have to look any further than your iPod to find men in highly emotional states. Take jazz music, for instance, a style which seems to be predominantly played by men. Jazz, ladies and gentlemen, is some really emotional music, to say the least. And if men aren't an overly emotional bunch, then why is it that that genre so fraught with emotion? Why is that? Society looks at jazz as a cool and soulfully acceptable form of emotional expressionism. But make no mistake, it's expressing plenty of emotion. Another popular musical genre is country, which, personally, I can't frickin' stand. When I listen to country music, all I hear is a lot of fingernails on a chalkboard. Emotional whining and moaning about love lost, money lost, and family lost, and truck lost, and the dog lost, and the chicken lost. Jesus Christ! It seems these country boys lose just about everything and then write a tear-in-your-beer song about it. Nonetheless, country music is considered a cool, manly, good old boy form of emotional expression. Because every artist wears giant, overcompensating 10-gallon hats, buckets, and boots. But make no mistake, it is still expressing buckets of emotion. I won't even bother talking about all the emotion tied up in rap and R&B music. But no one would argue that the amount of both anger and sadness bundled within the two genres is enough to drive people to murder and suicide. I mean, just ask Tupac and Biggie Smalls. Oh, I'm sorry, you can't, because someone killed them. Now, I touched on it briefly already, but sports is actually one of the best places to see men's extreme emotional and hormonal responses. Whether you're playing or watching your favorite sport, there's no better way to see men acting crazy and erratic than in support of their team. Whether they're spelling words out with body paint, screaming at the top of their lungs, or just throwing beer cans at the television set, it's hard to dispute that men are highly over-emotional when it comes to sports. While it's true that a great deal of women participate in this behavior too, it's hard to argue that the vast majority of the crazy, erratic, obsessive, testosterone-driven behavior over a win or loss by a sports team is perpetuated by women. Men have actually killed each other over team rivals. Each year, the whole world loses its damn mind over something involving a cup the size of the world. There have literally been riots in the streets because someone won or lost a college game. The amount of emotional energy expressed throughout the entire year over various sports in general trumps anything I have ever seen a woman express. Jesus, if men agreed to only watch one sporting event a month, I think women across the globe would agree to never mention their periods ever again. Men are some overly obsessive, crazy people when it comes to sports. But again, because it is a male-driven society, it doesn't really count as being overly emotional, right? Yeah, try that. Try and tell that to Armando Galarraga, who's probably still crying at this moment. So, exactly who really is the overly emotional and hormonal gender of the two? I would easily argue that men own the title 100%. Sorry, boys, but I'm just calling it like I see it. Whether you like it or not, of course. And if you don't like the call, you can always freak the hell out, throw things violently, or yell and scream about it until you're blue in the face. Or you can just pull it together, get a frickin' grip on your emotions. Honestly, the reason I enjoy the company of women so much more than men is because you guys are just way too emotionally erratic and hormonal for me to deal with. right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to cut right back in. We are going right back to the phone lines. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a caller. Caller, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Psycho Rabbit.
Psycho Rabbit, how you doing, sir?
I'm not doing too bad. I'm just calling to comment on your emotional guys thing.
Yes, sir.
I'll have to say I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the most emotional guys will be the guys you didn't expect, like the big and tough guy. I mean, like, just a little while ago, there was this big, tough guy, and the first thing he started doing was complaining about, oh, I don't have freaking air conditioning, I don't have a co-host, I'm going to whine and complain all the episodes. Okay, bite me. That's all it is.
Bite me. Oh, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Psycho Rabbit checking in. Give him a round of applause. Nice big Psycho Rabbit. And, of course, that's all he had to say. He got in, he got his shot in, and he bailed. Didn't even give me a chance to rebuttal. But that moves me on to, of course, Letters to Hollywood, and I have one right here. As a matter of fact, I have a couple. And we will see if we can't get these read before we get the bear out here. Speaking of which, somebody give me a time check. All right, we got a few. Let's see if we can get at least one of these in. Here we go. Letter to Hollywood. Dear Tyler, I have a dilemma. My ex wants me to replace his mattress because I ejaculated on it. Apparently, there was an unbearable smell that came about recently due to the heat and humidity where he now lives. See, I'm not the only one complaining about heat. Rabbit. I'm not sure that this stench is entirely all or at all mine. My ex has a cat that has peed on items of furniture in the past, for starters, and no other lovers have ever complained about any smell from me. I also warned my ex that a female was capable of ejaculation. There was an opportunity to grab a towel, but my ex did not stop. In fact, my ex caused me to ejaculate countless times. God, I love a good squirter. This ex now lives in a different city on the other side of the country, but we have friends in common. Should I pay for the replacement mattress? I might have been open to, paying half, but the last time we talked, my ex was so negative that I don't feel any obligation at all. What do you think? Signed, Sandy. Sandy, I don't want you to pay for your ex's new mattress. And I'll bet your ex doesn't want you to pay for his new mattress either. What's really going on here, Sandy, is this. Your ex and his out-of-the-blue request for mattress reparations is an attempt on his part, conscious or not, to sever communications with you. He's picking a fight. One he knows he's likely to lose, because this is, sopping wet bullshit, so that he'll have an excuse to stop speaking to you and an excuse to slag off to your mutual friends. And even if your stanky, ranky, janky lady spunk ruined his your ex's old mattress, Sandy, you would still not be obligated to replace it. When an adult invites another adult into his bed, he is or should be aware that sexual activity frequently leads to stained sheets and pillowcases, soaked and or stained mattresses, and every once in a great while, completely and thoroughly destroyed bed frames. I had to raise my hand there. A person who is unwilling to, eat this loss should screw on the floor, or go outside, or, bang at the partner's place. Seeing as your ex should have been aware of the general risk sexual activity posed to his mattress, and seeing as you acquainted him with the specific risk you posed on his mattress, the responsibility and the liability are entirely his. So you know what you can say to him? Fuck you. Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get him out here. Keep your applause going for Mo the Angry Teddy Bear.
Good evening, all my adoring fans.
How you doing, Bear?
Thank you. Hey, Tyler, how you doing?
Excellent, thank you.
Good, good. I see Christy's not here tonight.
Nope, not tonight.
We got a new schedule with her?
Yeah, actually we do. Yes.
Not showing up.
No, it's a new schedule.
I can replace her, if need be.
New schedule.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, first things first, I saw this little video clip this afternoon. You know how when someone sends you a link to YouTube, you watch your little clip, and then because they have these other things in the sidebar. You click on that, you watch that, and then you click on something else.
Yes.
You start at one thing. Let's say the soccer goal from yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I sent you that.
You know, Landon Donovan.
Yep.
Scoring the ultimate goal for U.S. and sending them to the World Cup.
Next round. Next round.
Whatever. The next round.
Yes.
And hold on.
Oh, jeez. Could you cover up?
I have an orgasm for you, ladies.
Oh,
right to the bear.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah.
Somebody give me a towel.
I got this link from a friend of mine.
Me? I sent you the link.
About the soccer goal that I was just talking about. And from there, I ended up clicking on another little video that looked funny.
Somebody give me a towel.
And from there, I clicked on another. And I eventually ran across a video of this woman named Veronica Robinson. Okay? Now, this Veronica Robinson, she's some English woman. And she breastfeeds her kids.
Uh-huh.
Which wouldn't be weird, except that her kids are 8 years old.
Oh, my God. You got to be kidding me.
All right? 8 years old, and she's still breastfeeding her kids.
Lordy.
I guess she's got an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old.
And she still breastfeeds both of them.
Who breastfeeds their kids at 8 years old?
I have no idea.
Veronica Robinson does. And Veronica Robinson can try and wrap this madness up in her cute little Harry Potter accent, but this insanity is straight up Deliverance banjo picking butt-fucking territory. Mrs. Robinson, there's something in
there. Yeah, it makes you think, doesn't it?
Believes her children should decide on their own at what age to stop sucking milk out of her body. Really? I guess that's because children make such good decisions on their own at 8 and 5 years old.
Good point, Mo.
Most of my brain decisions around the age of 8 involved setting things on fire or falling off of things. If you want to put it in food terms, my 8-year-old brain would happily tell my 8-year-old mouth to eat an entire box of Cap'n Crunch until my gums were bleeding. This nut actually says, with a straight face, that her children can't breastfeed forever.
No.
Because eventually, they have to go to college or get married.
Jesus.
What? No kidding! I have news for you. Marriage is not your daughter's future, and judging from the pictures they like to draw of your tits, the best they can hope for is a life in fetish porn. I think her daughter sums it up best when she says she would rather have lots of breast milk than a million melons. I think her other daughter sums it up even better when she says, grunt, swallow, what the fuck?
Ah, nicely done.
Thank you. That's
You're welcome.
A good one.
All right.
Let's move on to the top 10 for the evening.
Please.
And that's right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to stick to the theme. The top 10 signs your son is too old to breastfeed. Number 10.
Here we go.
He can open your blouse by himself.
Yes, that's true. That's a bad sign.
It's not a good sign there. Number 9. While suckling on one breast, he caresses the other.
That's a bad
sign right there. Number 8. He has developed a bad habit of flicking his tongue. Number 7, he keeps slipping dollar bills in your belt.
Uh-oh, jeez. Wow.
Number 6, he uses your milk as creamer for his coffee.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I guess your son's too old when he's starting to drink coffee. Number 5, your birth control pills interfere with his acne medicine.
Jeez.
Wow. Number 4, after each feeding, he has a smoke. Number 3, he frequently invites his friends over for dinner. Oh, these are great, huh?
Oh, my God.
All right, number 2, you feel an uncontrollable urge to listen to dueling banjos. And finally,
you're killing me, man.
The number 1 sign your son is too old to breastfeed, beard abrasions on the areola. And with that, Tyler, I have to take my bear bow, and I have to take my bear ass and get out of here.
Get out of here.
I have a good one. We'll see you.
Oh, my God.
Good night,
everybody. Good night, bear. Wow. I can't. I don't even know where to go from that, so I'm not even going to.
Ooh.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Coming up next, I believe, Thursday night, I have no idea. Probably a replay of something. We'll throw something up in there for you here on the Talk Radio X Global Streaming Radio Network. thank you, Radio Dan, for a wonderful show and taking my call. Thank you to everybody who's called in tonight and checked in. Love everybody out there. We're going to see you Monday, because tomorrow it's Ladies' Night with Tyler. Folks, we'll see you later. Have a good night.